This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our church prays regularly for you, the listener. We sincerely pray that God would use this time you spend with us to deepen your understanding of the Scriptures and your faith in the God who inspired them. As you listen, if you have questions about the sermon or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-205-6552. It would be our privilege to pray with you. Today we'll listen to a message about the eternal life provided through Jesus called Living for Eternity. We often view ourselves and what Jesus offers us incorrectly. We can often wonder why God would give us eternal life and then leave us here on earth. Part of the answer lies in the fact that He invites us to join Him in building His church. Our lives, lived eternally now, display the power and glory of the resurrected Jesus. When we allow Jesus to make changes in us, this causes an outward change that is noticed by those we encounter daily, and in turn causes others who need Christ to hunger for what they see in us and ultimately what Jesus offers them. Please consider these things as we listen to this message by our pastor of outreach and evangelism, Kevin Pierce.
Now we're going to talk just a little bit about living for eternity, living by eternity. We've come to understand during the last few weeks that eternal life, I hope we've come to understand this, that eternal life has far more to do with how we live life than we ever thought, how we live it now than we ever thought. It's not just about the forever with Jesus. It's about forever with Jesus right now. As we walk out our lives. The only thing I would change about the picture that's on the wall is I'd go ahead and I'd put a check in the later box. Why? Because our later is absolutely sure and certain and beyond doubt. For those of us in Christ, we have eternity now. It is guaranteed to us by the blood of Christ and by His resurrection. So it is because of the fact that our eternity, our forever, our later is secured, that we can live eternally now. I also hope by now that we all want to be driven by eternity, that we want eternity to drive the decisions and the thoughts of our lives. We all recognize that eternal life is about Jesus. This point has been hammered home. It's about Jesus. It's about our relationship with Him. Eternal life happens because we are in Christ. It is not about proclamations. It is about a person. It's less about striving for something than it is about the day-to-day, minute-by-minute surrender to someone. It's not about a future of peace. It's not just about a forever future of peace. It's about a fellowship of peace, a fellowship of power, a fellowship of victory in the here and now with the one who is eternal life. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. We're not going to go there. This is just a verse I'm going to give you. It says, just as He, God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, purpose that we would be holy and blameless in Him. Look at that for a minute. He's not talking about forever singing with the angels. He's talking about being holy and blameless, about walking out life in holiness and blamelessness before the God of the universe. This eternal life thing for us in Christ stretches back into eternity. It stretches forward into forever, and it is based completely on a relationship with Jesus. Listen to this quote from one of my favorites, John Piper. He says, God in eternity looked upon me, foreseeing my faultness, my pride, my sin, and said, I want that man in my family. I will pay for him to be in my family with my son's life. That's love, folks. That is mega off the charts love. The pardon of God for our eternal life began before there was a past. His patience and mercy and long-suffering with us is a part of our past. His presence and power are part of our present, and they will never end. His provision for our future is certain and sure, and it will continue long after the word future no longer holds any meaning at all. This is eternal life in all of its grace and glory. God's goal is for us to live eternally now. That should be our goal. Much of the New Testament talks about how we're supposed to do this. Today, I want to look at what Peter has to say in the first 11 verses of his second letter. Now, Peter, we love Peter, at least we should, because Peter's all of us. Impulsive. Here one day, here the next. Chasing after Jesus one day and running away from him the next. Peter grew. The reason we love him is as we walk out the book of Acts and we walk out the letters and we look at the Gospels, we get to see Peter grow in his own understanding of what it means to live eternity in this life. We get to watch him move through the same process that Jesus wants for all of us. Peter wants his readers to be strengthened in their walk because of what Jesus has done in them. Peter went from impulsive fisherman, and he became the author of some of the greatest literature ever penned. And I'm speaking as somebody who studied it. His letters are some of the greatest literature that's ever been written, period. As a matter of fact, it is so eloquent and so great that there are many critics who say there's no possible way that a fisherman could ever have written them. The problem with that is that these people don't recognize the power of God and what it can do to change a fisherman and what it can do to change you and I. This is the thrust of Peter's passage. God, through his grace displayed in Jesus to us, wants his eternal power and glory and excellence to be displayed in our daily lives. He wants this life to be lived in light of eternity, fruitful, effective, full of joy, and full of assurance. Let's take a look at what Peter says in verses 1 through 3. He starts out with Simon Peter, uses both his names, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who've received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. This is one sentence. There is so much glory in it. Peter's laying out a foundation for living by eternity by beginning to talk about the gift and the giver of this eternal life to be lived now. I want you to look with me. We're just going to kind of go. I couldn't find another way to do this except to just go phrase by phrase, verse by verse, and talk about it, because Peter, he purposefully puts so much in every phrase. He says that we received a gift by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a gift. The word received here, it paints the picture of something that's given to us by divine favor for our benefit. Peter's making it clear that we bring nothing to the table. He's making two things clear here. He mentions Jesus and God repeatedly. He makes it clear that we're bringing nothing to the table. Not only that, but in this passage, he uses words that are over the top. He talks about the fact that we received. This received is a word like, it's not just here you go, here's a dime. You have received super abundantly. It says, he has multiplied grace and peace through us. That word multiplied is over the top superabundance. And he has granted to us, that is over the top granted to us. Peter is intentionally making a point to us. A, none of it comes from you. B, all of it comes from Jesus and knowledge of him through God. And C, it is way more than you could ever possibly imagine. So grab hold and get ready. Also notice what Peter does. He makes it real clear as if he's saying, look, I just want to make you guys clear. I believe he's God. He says, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's the focus. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. The favor of God, the presence of God are super abundantly supplied. That is the only way that I can make this super abundantly applied. This super abundance, this word, Peter's going to use it over and over again in this passage to hammer home the point that this is way more than you need. This is super abundance, and it is the theme of living eternally now. This super abundance of God is the theme, it's the purpose, it's the driving thing, it's the empowerment, the batteries for living eternally now. He says, in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. The way this grace comes to us, he's going to use the word knowledge over and over again. The way that this super abundant grace comes to us, this peace, this everything that we get, is through knowledge of the Lord. It's learning things about him, but it's more. This kind of knowledge is not just the kind of knowledge that says, I recognize who Jesus is. It's the kind of knowledge that says, I recognize who he is, and because of who he is, I'm going where he goes, and I'm going to get as close to him as I can possibly get, and I'm going to draw in near and never let go because I want to learn more than I know today. That's the kind of knowledge we're talking about. Beloved, there's a famine of knowledge, of true knowledge about God today. Part of that comes because we're living in a post-truth culture. And what happens in a post-truth culture is reality and truth actually literally are what we make them out to be. We have seen this in our culture. What's real is what I say is real. Jesus becomes the Lord of our personal experiences with him, rather than the Lord he has revealed himself to be. Peter's going to use this word again and again. Living life eternally cannot happen. It can't happen. We can't get the qualities we're going to talk about soon unless we are growing constantly in our knowledge of our Lord, of our God, unless we're in his word and with the people of his word. And then when we learn his word, we go out and live it. We cannot do it. Knowledge about him from his word, guided by the Holy Spirit. A knowledge as we walk out eternally lived life that he gives. It says, seeing, and this is kind of the governing phrase for the whole passage, seeing that his divine power has granted, over the top granting, us, over the top granting of what? Everything. I'm going to over the top, super abundantly grant you everything that has to do with life and godliness right now. Peter's piling on. He's more fully explaining this grace and peace that God wants us to have. Think about divine power. Every great and mighty thing God has, is doing, or will do is tied up in the phrase by his divine power. All he is applied to all we are in Christ. Every great thing, all of him and all of his plan is directed at us, his children, as we walk out our daily lives. Granted, check this out. Little Greek, granted is a perfect passive participle. What that means is this stuff has already been being given to you way back here. And since it has already been being given to you, it continues to be given to you, and it's never going to end. And the benefits of this thing that has been being given to you are going to continue on and on and on. Look at how huge this is, this picture that Peter is painting of the work that God does in our lives. It has purpose. It reaches back to before the world was made. And it extends through this life and into our forevers. It's applied to us for life right now. He says it's all for life and godliness. Godliness is going to show up again. We see the character of God. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Here he puts the godliness in us. He does so that we're able to live out the godliness. In connecting life and godliness, Peter does an intentional thing. The forever character and nature of God is meant to be implanted in us, and it's meant to be displayed through us right now. Verse 3 continues by telling us that this life and godliness is granted to us through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. If anyone understood the glory and excellence of Christ, it was Peter. Peter was called. Peter saw the miracles done right in front of him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter saw Jesus in his glory. Peter saw the risen Christ. And guess what else Peter saw? Peter saw the risen Christ make a special trip for him to come get him when he failed and restore him and redeem him. Peter repeats this word knowledge over and over again, as I've said. This knowledge is rooted in Christ. It comes from him. Again, it's not just knowing about him. It is knowing him truly and fully. The more these increase, the more we will live eternally in this life. This word for excellence does even more to talk about these things. It's one of the things that we are to add. This excellence is going to show up again. It's one of the things that we're supposed to add later in the passage. We have it because he has it. And the word for his own is important. This is what I said. It's just so hard because everything's important here. These things belong to Jesus. They are his personal possession, this glory, this excellence. They're his personal possession in his person. When he shares his person with us, when we trust him by faith, and he is in us, these things are in us. Grab a hold of that. We took a look at the giver and the gift of this eternal life now. Now, I want to look at the ones who are gifted with this life. The truth is that the gift is rooted in who the giver is. The truths about us are no different. These truths about us, these things that are going to grow out of us, they're rooted in who we are now in Jesus as his children. If we grab these truths, then living this life becomes almost a normal thing. Dear Jesus, I want it to be a normal thing in my life. I don't want this to be something I strive for all the time. I just want it to be like breathing. It says in 2 Peter 1:4, for by these he has granted, there's that word again, superabundant, over the top, granted for our benefit by his grace, granted to us his prescience and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of the divine, there's that word divine again, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world by lust. It says, for by these, what are the these? Everything that came before in this passage, all the superabundant, over the top, by grace, happening in the past, stretching through the future, way into the present and way into the future, all of these things are part of the by these. His divine power, the intimate and growing knowledge of Jesus with his calling of us based on his glory and his excellence, all of what Jesus offers comes out of who he is as God. He says he has granted, again, over the top, super. Is Peter trying to make a point? I think so. Same word as verse 3. We've already been given something of great benefit. We have them now to change us and to use. His precious and magnificent promises. Think about this phrase with me. Think about the words. Now, I want to say it out loud together, just so you get it. Say it with me. His precious and magnificent promises. How do you say that without smiling? It's just incredible. Peter, in his writings, uses this word precious repeatedly. Listen to what he uses this word precious to describe. He uses it to describe the promises here. He uses it to describe the blood of Jesus. He uses it to describe Jesus as Savior. And then he uses it to describe us in Christ. This word precious. These promises, the word magnificent means of immeasurable value and inestimable importance. Peter's choosing over-the-top words because he wants you to get the idea that this is an over-the-top thing that God has given you, so that in a minute when he asks you to do this, to add these things, your attitude, my attitude should be, oh, I can do that. I got everything I need. You gave it to me. This is no problem. Let's go. Peter's not specific on what the promises are, and I think that's on purpose. I think what we're supposed to do, what Peter wants us to do, is to stop for like 2 days and think about all of the promises that God has given us. Think about all the promises he's kept. We're supposed to search out the word for all of these precious and magnificent promises. When we have need, we're supposed to camp on them in uncertainty for our lives. Now, in Jeremiah 33, God says, I will put a new spirit in them. I will put a new spirit in them. This fits what he says next in verse 4. It says, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. The word for partakers here is fellowship. It's not about dinner. It's what we're supposed to do in sharing Christ and life with one another. It's intimate and it's constant. It's not enough that God has already granted us his divine power for life and godliness. By means of his faithful promises, we get to share in his divine nature. You cannot share in the divine nature of God without it changing your nature. It changes appetite. It changes vision. It changes focus. You cannot have the nature of God in you and stay the same.
We pause for a moment from the message to welcome those of you just joining us. You're listening to a message titled Living for Eternity. As we grow, we are to live more and more in the light of eternity. The values and priorities in our daily lives should be driven by our desire to be more like our eternal King. If you have questions about anything you've heard today and would like to contact us, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page and send your comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor of outreach and evangelism, Kevin Pierce.
The other side of sharing the divine nature is having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. When we came to Christ, we ran away from the moral death that was in this world. Our desires were altered. I remember longing to be in the Word and longing to be in the house of God among believers when I came to Christ. That's not diminished. Lust here is not just sexual appetite. We think about that, we think about sex. No, lust here is the temporal, self-centered desire for the things of this world. These things bring death rather than life to our right now. Listen to 1 John 2:17 talk about these things. This world with its lusts is under its own corrupt weight and decay, passing away right now. But he who does the will of the Lord is abiding forever. We escape that which dies and grab hold of that which cannot die and live it out now. Verse 3 started with the phrase, seeing that, and then goes on to describe this great eternal life coming from the very nature of the giver. Through knowing Jesus and the promises God offers, we share in his nature. Because we share in his nature, we are changed from people marked by this corrupt and temporal world and become people who are eternal people now. Peter's making a point. He wants you to know how this works in life. And he tells us about that in verses 5 through 7 when he talks about living the eternal life now. It says, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. This is incredible and rich and amazing. I don't want you to miss this. The word for applying here is used once in the entire New Testament. Peter, the stupid fisherman, he goes out and he searches until he gets just the right word so that he could communicate. And no one else but Peter uses it in the entire New Testament. It means to bring something alongside of what is already there in abundance. To bring something alongside. We bring something from us alongside of what's already there, which just so happens to be, don't forget, the things that God has already put in us when he gave us the opportunity to have his divine power and share in his divine nature. So Peter is saying, we're going to add to the things that God has already put in us. And by an act of our will, we're going to walk with God. We're going to do what we were designed and born again to do. The idea is that we bring our yes, Lord, to all that is ours in Christ. But this yes is not a passive yes. The picture is that God supplied all of the critical things we needed, but there is much expected from us. Much expected from us. We are to bring all diligence. The picture here is that you have been chosen to foot the bill for a great performance or a great thing that's coming to your town. All the stuff you need has already been done. As a matter of fact, the money in your bank account that you're going to use to write the checks, to foot the bills for all the performance, that money was deposited by somebody else. But it's your job to be very careful, very lavish. You lavishly and generously add to these things. You take the resources that you've been given and you don't cut corners. You earnestly, lavishly, and generously add to this by your own will and at any cost so that the things God gives can be displayed to everyone so that when the performance happens, everybody stands up and goes, yay, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I want to do it again. Matter of fact, I want to join in. How can I join in and do what you do? That's the point. The job doesn't end, our passion, because of who calls us to this never-ending life never ends. We have placed our faith in the giver of life. We have our confidence in the giver of life. We've believed his promises. We know that his divine nature is in us, that we live by his divine power. We know these things, and we have committed our lives to them in faith. Faith is the foundation for what's going to come. What God does through Peter is just amazing. We look at these individual verses and we see a group of items that are on the screen. I want you to know something. These things are not like items that we would go to the store and buy and look for a sale on. They're not individual items, and I don't want to belittle them, but they're not like these individual items. I'll get this one and this one can stay, but this one and this one. No, these things are all interconnected. The verbiage, the language here, Peter connects them to one another. They can't be separated. As a matter of fact, not only are they connected, but they're like a staircase. This is the way Peter paints this with the words and the language that he uses. This is a staircase of sanctification. Each thing grows out of the one before it, and each feeds back into the others. What Peter offers here is the growing character of one who lives his life now in light of the eternal work that God has done in him. Just so we don't miss the point, Peter uses the word for supply, again, to mean add to something that already exists. These things are ours. They're part of his glory and excellence that he called us by. They're part of the divine power that he has. They're part of his divine nature. And he's implanted those in us when we placed our faith in Christ. We have to say, yes, Lord, and lavishly, generously live them out. We are to grow, to live like people God made us to be. Let's look at these things. It says virtue. This virtue is excellence in action, and it's the same word that Peter used for the excellence of God earlier in the passage. The excellence by which he called us. We are to seek in our Monday through Friday, here and now life, to display the praiseworthy character of God, which he has already shared with us. How we live this life shows his life. We want him known. This happens as we know him better. So we supply knowledge. Same word again. the true knowledge of God. Peter uses this word like four times in this passage. We need to get that picture. He's making a point. If he uses something four times in 11 verses, it's got to be important, and we need to pay attention to it. We know intimately the God who gives us life. We experience his power by knowing him more deeply. We dig into the precious and magnificent promises of God, and we long to live them out. This knowledge leads to practical and powerful living. Compare what he says with our commitment to knowing God's word and diligently studying his word. I'm not trying to push guilt here, but the calling that God offers us in the knowledge of him cannot be achieved if we are not in his word, and not just on Sunday, beloved. If his word is not a daily part of our lives, if it does not govern our decisions, if it does not draw us in hunger to know more, then we cannot grow according to this staircase that Peter's put up, and there is no way that the virtue and excellence of God can be made manifest in our lives. Deeper knowledge of God motivates greater virtue, but it also leads to self-control. As we grow in the virtue and knowledge of God, we more and more reject the desires of this corrupt world. We bring into line our desires with truth. Our desires get brought into line with what we're knowing, so that our desires will be excellent. You see what Peter's doing here? We chase after that which brings growth. Our choices are driven by eternal things. Our day-to-day choices, the immediate choices that we make, are driven by eternal things. This doesn't mean that we become monks. What it does mean is that our passions, these things that Peter called lust earlier, our passions in this life are driven by the eternal things of God that he's already put in us, rather than the pleasures that this world offers that are dying under their own weight. Look at the picture that Peter is painting here for us. Self-control brings a desire to know more, but it also helps us become people who have perseverance. Perseverance is the idea of remaining under God's truth, remaining under what God has given us. Self-control was about the pleasures of this world. Perseverance is about the pressures of this world. The first is about the immediate choices that we make being altered. We grow into people who encounter something and our lust wants us to go one way, but this growing sanctification, this eternal living now, says, nope, I'm in the moment, I'm going this way, not that way. It's about the immediate decisions that we make being altered. But perseverance is about the long haul choices remaining unaltered by what the world throws at us. As we persevere, we prove God's promises to be true. And guess what? Not only do we prove his promises to be true, but we get proven in his promises. We get tested and grown, and we find out where the weak spots are and where we need more strength and where we need more knowledge, and we get it. And in this perseverance, we get proven. Our faith is deepened. Our hope is strengthened. We more and more show godliness. Guess what? We're right back at what God has given us again. Exact same word. What's in us is supposed to grow out of us. It is the calling of God on us to be godly. He granted us all we need for godliness by his divine power. Now we live to display this divine power in the choices we make. We become more aware of God. Listen, we become more aware of God. Godliness is not just about behavior. It's about becoming more aware of God in all we do. Our character begins to display his divine power and his divine nature. People who grow to live like this, people whose lives are changed like this, cannot help but impact those around them. It is a natural progression up the staircase to brotherly kindness. We want each other to experience all that we are. We take our place in the church of Jesus, and our reason for being there is to bring the gifts and the divine nature and the calling God has placed on us to bear on one another's lives so that they are blessed. and to spur one another on to good works and right living. We care for one another as we walk out together our eternity in the here and now. Please see something. Living eternally now, living in light of eternity now, cannot be done. Peter's pointed out, it can't be done if we're not connected to the church where God has planted us. Not just being in the room, but being connected, bringing to bear the divine things that God has placed in your life to bless those around you. If these things, these character traits, are not part of our lives today, it may very well be because we are choosing to stay unconnected from the rest of the people that are climbing the staircase. We need one another. This awesome, eternal life we have changes us so that our greatest desires become the things that God desires. His diligent, at all costs, desire for us led him to display his love, his agape love that seeks the best for those around us. Look what happens as we do these things and we are changed. We realize that we cannot live for eternity without seeing others coming to know what we know and have what we have, the divine nature, the promises, all of it, the divine power. They are dying in this corrupt world. We were delivered from this corrupt world. Living it out is not enough. Being with the people of God is not enough. You cannot love the way God loves if all we love is those around us in the room. We have to love the lost enough to do what Jesus did, to go at all costs and bring all we have from God to bear on their lives. The amazing thing is that when we do this, and when they come to embrace the life that we have, we get the joy of watching them start at the landing on the bottom and walk up the staircase and watch them grow in all that we have. And on it goes in the lives of everyone we touch. Beloved, this is what God desires for us as we live out eternal life now. What's the result of living for eternity? Peter says, if these qualities are yours, if they are your possession, just like those things were Jesus's, his very own, if these things are your very own and they are increasing, there's another superabundant word. If they are increasing, just like the grace and peace God wishes to give us in verse 2, you will neither be useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge. There's that knowledge again of Jesus. We will always be busy and we will always be displaying the fruit of knowing Jesus fully. No bored, no idle. No wondering, what do I do next? Because the next is always going to be in front of you, because chasing that staircase, walking up that staircase, living that way always leads you to the next great thing or good thing or small thing or eternal thing that God has got you to do. And your life is always going to be bearing fruit. Our vision will be looking toward the kingdom as we live this life, remembering what we've been redeemed from. Verse 9 says that the one who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. He's forgotten what purified him from his sins. This one who's not have these qualities is not looking at the divine power in nature. He's not looking at all the promises. The pressures of this world have gotten him to take his eyes off here, and he's now short-sighted. But that's not us, see, because when we're diligent to possess and live these qualities out by the divine power of God, we have the cares, but we look past the cares, remembering, though, that we have trials. The one who calls us by his glory and excellence has overcome the trials. And better yet, the trials get to serve to help us better understand the eternity that belongs to us now. We get the self-control and the perseverance, and we grow in the knowledge. And all of these things are brought to bear on our life by the very trials that we go through in this life, if we are living out life eternally. It says, as we diligently was used in verse 5, as we diligently pursue these things, We prove and establish the calling of God in our lives based on his glory and excellence. And we find security and steadiness in an insecure and unsteady world. When we say we prove the calling of God, we're not saying we prove it like it really might have not have been true. That's not what Peter's saying. Don't miss this. He's talking to believers. There's no doubt about their position in Christ. What he's saying is when you do these things, you prove that his divine power is in you, that his divine nature is in you, that you're clinging to the great and precious promises. You prove to everyone looking on that this is the way they should go so that they can have everything that you have. Listen to verse 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. He uses these words again, these over-the-top words, super abundantly added to your life in generous portion based on his divine nature, based upon his grace. The word for entrance here, I never saw this before. I used to read this verse my whole life, your entrance, and think, oh, you know, one day I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to see it and God's going to welcome me. And hopefully he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you know what? That's not what Peter's saying here. At least not entirely. The word for entrance here is a word for a welcome that is given to a long expected and joyful visitor. You've been waiting and they're here and you've been anticipating and they're here and you've got this welcome laid out for them. But check this out. The word for welcome comes from a word that means road or way. Think about that with me for a minute in light of what Peter has said, because Peter is not talking about what's going to happen one day. He's talking about what should happen today. See, this passage is not just looking to the blessed day when we see Jesus. The entrance here, the road our way, is the life that we live in Christ from this day forward to that day. The idea of what Peter's saying is here is that we are on the road now. Our entrance into the kingdom of God, which is super abundantly supplied by him, is being super abundantly applied to us as we are on our entrance into the kingdom. Think about that. It's about the way we live our life in divine power now. We have been welcomed into eternal life. We are being welcomed into eternal life. We will be welcomed one day into eternal life. What we do now is practice. What we do now is display the power of God in this daily life until one day we bow before him and say, thank you for the whole life you just gave me. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Please don't miss this. In the beginning, he says he super abundantly provided by his own grace all of the things that you would need to live this kind of life. And then he says, based upon everything I've given you, I want you to be diligently to super abundantly supply the things that I've already given you to live out your life. And guess what he says here at the end? He says, just so you don't miss it, I will super abundantly supply what you need to do the things I've asked you to do. Box! He's got bookends on either side. This is grace and glory and divine power. And he doesn't want us to miss that. As we do the things he's asked us to do, he super abundantly supplies all we need to live out eternity from now until our certain, sure, forever. So you're here. And you're like me, and you're struggling, and the things of life maybe have you short-sighted. God says he's giving you what you need for life and godliness. He says, here's my prescription to your faith. Add this, and add this, and add this, and add this, because I've already enabled you to add it. And as you add these things all along the way, I'm going to continue to super abundantly supply to you my divine power, my divine nature, my great, my precious and magnificent promises. And he says to us, I ask you just to say, yes, Lord. Father, for me, for these precious people, as Peter has called them, bought with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, receivers of the precious promises of our God for life. Oh, Lord God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would this day, this moment, help us to grab hold of the truths that you have shown us through Peter. That God, our lives would be ones of victory. Our lives would be ones of power. Our lives would be ones of presence. In short, God, that we would be living eternally right now. Some of you here, and I don't want to drag this out, but some of you here are hearing these words and you're thinking about this great life that the man was talking about. But you have never run away from the corruption of this world. You've never placed your faith in this one who wishes to give you his divine nature and implant his divine power in you. You've never come to him and acknowledged that you've sinned against him and you deserve his judgment. But you recognize that this Jesus, this one through the true knowledge of whom is going to bring you to this life, you don't have that true knowledge of him because you've never said yes to Jesus. There's a danger. You're going to walk out that door if you haven't done that, and you're going to be floating downstream with the world towards the destruction that is it. I don't want that for you. Nobody in this room wants that for you. If you will come to the Lord Jesus in faith, confessing your sins and asking him to forgive you and asking him to give you this life by faith, he promises that he will not turn you away. He will receive you. If that is something you want, I want to urge you to talk to somebody today. For the rest of us, we're going to walk out the door, and the pleasures of this life are going to call, and the pressures of this life are going to be upon us, and we're going to struggle to let go of the temporal and grab onto the eternal. I want to encourage you, remember the divine power of God. Remember the divine nature that is in you. Remember the precious and magnificent promises. Plant your feet firmly on the bottom landing and walk up the steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to the message today. Please join our pastors now for a roundtable discussion about the sermon. With us today are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Crawshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, and Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
I was struck by Pastor Kevin's mention of Peter in his early life, and we all know about his early life. I mean, we all relate to his early life. We relate to all his bumbling and stumbling and the things that come out of his mouth and the fact he always had his foot in his mouth. But then the difference in this man when he gets to be old enough to write these two letters, and I can just see him struggling through as he's writing even the opening words to 2 Peter, those who've received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. You can just see this man, the difference in him from when he was this rough, bumbling, stumbling fisherman until he finally writes those words, we will be partakers of the divine nature. I see that sometimes in myself, looking at the difference in me now than what I was a few years ago and watching God just continually nudge me further and further away from the old me. And I can just see Peter doing the same thing, that nudging and realizing it's not that I have become a better person. I'm literally sharing in the divine nature. He is putting in me his characteristics. I'm reflecting the God of heaven. I'm a reflection of Jesus more and more. That's sanctification. And man, that is amazing. That is wonderful. Where our greatest desires, Pastor Kevin said, our greatest desires become what God desires. When we start to see that showing up in us, we know that we are reproducing the character of Christ.
Pastor Kevin made some astute points in this sermon, but the one I really want to camp on As he said, there is a famine of true knowledge about God today. Part of that comes from a post-truth culture where reality and truth are what we make them. And that is so not true. The Word of God must be our standard bearer. It must be the measuring stick. Because if the Bible is not our final authority, we are going to toss like the waves in the sea. And that was James' warning that we wouldn't do that, that we would be consistent. We'd be running the race. We would finish the race to which God has called us. God has a mission for each one of us, has a calling for us on planet Earth. There's a lot of different things that we fulfill and that are wonderful gifts to be enjoyed, but there is a primary reason that each one of us exists on this earth. And yes, it's to glorify God, but what is the means in which we do that? That is the end. We glorify the Lord in all that we do. Amen. But what is that specific ministry, that specific task, that specific passion that you have, that nobody else has, or very few people have, that you can use and you can utilize for kingdom purposes? Because again, either the Word of God will be the final authority in your life, or it'll be your feelings or your heart. And I'm not trying to mock or make light of anything. I'm talking to myself here. The Bible's very clear about that. Who can trust the heart? It's wicked. It's deceitful. Only when we are born again into the family of God, only then is that verse that Pastor Kevin talked about in 1 John true. He who does the will of God abides forever. So only when we are fully connected to the God of heaven by the Word of God, living it out and worshiping Him with everything that we have and what God has called us to do, and loving and serving others as Jesus has loved and served us, only when we do that do we realize and recognize our place on this earth and what God has called each one of us to.
It was in my own life that I had grew up as an evangelist, soloist, and that sort of thing. And we weren't really connected to the individual local church. But in the last 20 years, God has molded me to be a pastor and then to come to this church. And I've now realized in my life that this had to be. We want each other to experience all these things that says in Pastor Kevin's message. We take our place in the church in order to bless one another and to spur one another on to right living. And he also said, living in light of eternity cannot be done if we are not connected to the local church where God has planted us. If these things are not part of your life, it may be because you are staying unconnected from the things around you. We need one another. And I have found that in my own life now, that I'm a pastor that is called to be one who comforts others and encourages others. And that is a distinction that I'm enjoying. And I've got life in me. I don't retire at 65. I've got life thereafter, and it's due to this experience. So that is what I've got out of this message today.
I sat with tears in my eyes listening to this message, and the truth of God just washing over me again about my own life. And I can't help but connect the words eternal life and abundant life together, because Jesus offers both of them. And both of them have to do with the here and now. Both of them have to do with the way life is lived out in the here and now. Beloved, those of you listening, I don't want you to settle, and neither does the Lord of glory. He wants you to take hold of everything that He has given you that belongs to you now, because you're a follower of Jesus, because the divine nature is in you. So I plead with you, search your own heart. Don't settle. Embrace the abundant, eternal life that you've heard about today.
We pray God has used this time you've spent with us to bless you. We invite you to visit with us on Sunday mornings. You are welcome to join us for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30 a.m. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We also have a children's program that takes place during the worship service called Disciple Town. It's a wonderful worship service geared especially for children ages 4 years old through 5th grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during the Bible classes and the worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. We have a full schedule of events and opportunities here at Grace for you and your family each week. To learn more about us and what we have to offer, please contact us or visit our website. Remember, if you have a need for prayer or questions about something you heard today, text us at 772-205-6552 or go online to graceemmanuel.com. Remember to request the free resource on what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, and fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May God richly bless you this week, and we look forward to you visiting with us soon. Hi, my name is Mark Worley. I'm the administrator here at Grace Emmanuel Church. Thank you for listening to our broadcast each week. We sincerely pray that this ministry is having a positive impact within our listening area. It is for this reason only that we produce these programs. If our ministry is having an impact in your life, would you consider partnering with us? Our goal is to continue providing Christ-centered content for those listening to this station that will help strengthen their relationship with Christ. If you would like to participate in this radio ministry, please log on to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Give Now tab on the right side of the page. If you listen to our program but don't have a church home, I'd like to extend a personal invitation to you to worship with us Sunday. You will be welcomed with open arms. For more information about our church and our ministry, call us at 772-489-9696 or visit us online at graceemmanuel.com.